Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast and a Talents on Tap episode, where once a month, Tom, my husband and battalion chief in the Troy Fire Department, and I come together for a great lively conversation. And you will find on Talents on Tap, not only are our top five themes very different from each other, actually our top 10 are very, very different from each other, but our taste in beer is also different. And on the Talents on Tap, we start off by sharing a little bit about a local brewery that we visited, because that's one of our favorite hobbies to do, is take off and discover new microbreweries in our area. And our tastes in beer, as I said, are different. So we'll share what beer we're sipping as we record the podcast. So sit back and enjoy this lively conversation today of a Talents on Tap episode with Tom and myself. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed, and as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. This is your host, Sherry Miter, and this is one of our Talents on Taps with my husband, Tom. Say hey, Tom.
Hey, how are you, everyone?
And we're going to be talking about having legacy and also being future forward thinking as a leader in your organization. So I think it's going to be a pretty hot topic today. And in a minute, Tom's going to share what our on tap is today in the brewery that we visited. But before we do that, I do want to give you a reminder that our first ever Navigating Your Leadership Live is coming up at the end of March. I don't have a detailed date yet. That's coming very soon. But if you haven't heard, this is a time for you to hop on a Zoom with me, possibly with Tom there too. We do a little bit of extra training. And then we have a great conversation with you, our listeners. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what your thoughts are on the topic, what questions you have, what solutions do you bring to the table? And of course, we have time for some networking. So I hope that you will take time to join us for this very first Navigating Your Leadership Live. All you have to do right now, if it sounds interesting to you, is make sure you're on our mailing list. The link is in the show notes, or hop over to LinkedIn. Message me over there. I am not on Facebook right now. I'm taking a Facebook sabbatical, which has been pretty amazing, I must say. So you can reach me on LinkedIn, or you can email me at Sherry Miter Co, SHERIMITERCO@gmail.com. And let me know that you want more information on the Navigating Your Leadership Live Zoom event coming up soon. But let's get into today's conversation and our Talents on Tap. So Tom, you want to share with the listeners a little bit about what brewery we visited? Because of course, on Talents on Tap, we have a cocktail here. We're drinking our nice, lovely beers from a local brewery.
That is correct. Today, we're drinking two different beers from Bound by Fate Brewery in Schuylerville, which we found quite by accident just a couple of weeks ago. It's about... from Albany. It's probably 35, 40 minutes north of Albany, New York. And it's wonderful. And we have two different beers we're trying today. I'm drinking it's called Kegasus. It's a cream ale. It's described as their pre-prohibition cream ale. Basically, I would say it's a very smooth drinking ale with very little bitterness or hoppiness of aftertaste, and really very, very easy drinking beer. Sherry, on the other hand, is drinking the Brave Noise Pale Ale, which is actually a collaboration between a number of different breweries, including Indian Ladder Farms, Unified Beer Works, obviously Bound by Fate, and C&B Brew Works. It's an excellent beer. It's a pale ale, so it's a little bit hoppy, but not nearly as hoppy as an IPA. But it's very easy drinking, a little bit of a cloudiness to it. And we're really enjoying them this evening. And welcome to our little Talents on Tap show.
Yeah, and I have to add, so the Brave Noise was a collaboration, and it actually is a pretty cool beer because it has a big goal behind it, that they are looking to bring awareness to discrimination in the beer industry. So it's for safe and discrimination-free beer industry. So pretty excited to be drinking a great beer and a beer that makes a difference. And I have to just say, this Bound by Fate, if you are in, within a couple of hours, I would even say it's worth it, drive of Schuylerville. Like, check it out on Google Maps. This was such a cool little find that we came upon. And I have to say, from the outward appearance, you may be tempted to turn around. I almost had that thought when we got there. It's like, from the outside, you're thinking, where am I going? But once you are inside, it has the friendliest staff.
And excellent beer.
Oh, amazing food.
Amazing food. It's all Lao food, which is from Laos. They have a number of different dishes. And we just tried their, believe it or not, their fries.
We were not eating dinner there, so we only got the fries. We'll go back for dinner.
They were what they call tamarind fries with roasted garlic mayo and a spicy ketchup. And they were absolutely the best French fry I've ever had. Huge portion for two was plenty. And we just enjoyed the heck out of ourselves up there. And we're very much looking forward to going back and trying some of the other Laotian food and enjoying the atmosphere up there. It's just beautiful. It is in an older building, but it was well worth the trip and just a wonderful place to be. So here's to Bound by Fate Brewery. Excellent beer, excellent food, and off we go.
Yeah. And the chef, I have to say, like, this place was so cool. So the chef, we actually got to meet him, the executive chef, who's not there all the time. He actually has a restaurant in Washington, D.C. as well. But he came over and we had a great conversation with him. And I think, was it his grandma? It's a family owned business. It's like, the story behind it is just so really cool.
Yeah, it really is.
And just, I love that farm to table type food. Everything was super fresh. And truly the fries were like best fries ever.
And everything is served family style. So there'll be more food than you can eat.
Yeah.
Very shareable.
You'll catch us back there again. Okay. So today's topic, again, we are talking about how kind of really to morph keeping legacy and traditions alive while at the same time being that future forward thinking leader. And this topic came about because as we're doing a program, a high performing teams program right now with Tom's fire captains at the Troy Firehouse, if you're not familiar with what Tom does. And in one of the sessions, we were talking about the guys' top five talents, and one of them has context, which I'll tell you what that means in a second, and one had strategic. And it just kind of opened up this little bit of a conversation, but it got my mind thinking on things and on how when we approach things and we look through life and work through our different lenses, what's important to us changes sometimes. And how do we mesh everything so that we can still have a great place to work and show up no matter how we think on things and bring the best of everybody to the organization. So somebody with high context, the definition by Gallup is that people exceptionally talented in the context theme enjoy thinking about the past. They understand the present by researching its history. What they bring is accurate memories and valuable memorabilia. What they need is relevant background for discussions and decisions. Whereas somebody with high strategic, they are people exceptionally talented in the strategic theme, create alternative ways to proceed. Faced with any given scenario, they can quickly spot the relevant patterns and issues. What they bring is creative anticipation, imagination, and persistence. What they need is freedom to make mid-course corrections. And then I want to throw in futuristic, because futuristic definitely falls well into this conversation. And even though they're not, it's futuristic and context shouldn't be seen as opposites, but they are very different. So somebody with futuristic is people exceptionally talented in the futuristic theme are inspired by the future and what could be. They energize others with their visions of the future. What they bring are previews, predictions, forecasts. What they need is opportunities to talk about the foreseen future. So just by hearing those definitions, you can see where people come with different points of view. But what's interesting is all three of those themes fall under the strategic thinking domain. So to really get the best in thinking all around in your organization, you want to be able to tap into all of those themes. But what can happen is that somebody with high context, they're going to really value those legacies and those traditions. Whereas somebody that's more strategic thinking or futuristic thinking, they want to look at how can we take more risk? How can we disrupt what are we doing now? They're the change makers. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Because I know, Tom, for you, legacy and tradition, especially in the fire service, is very important. So talk to us a little bit about that.
So I think in any organization, there are going to be themes and traditions and core values that may be the same for depending, no matter what theme you're involved in. But I can only really speak in terms of the military and the fire service. Our traditions are very important to us. And one of the things that becomes a problem in the fire service, especially is when younger generation folks come in and they're not so caught up in the traditions of the past, the different ways of doing things from the past as they are in the here and now and in the future. So the big question, and I think it goes to any organization, is how do you mesh that? How do you take someone who's big into context, into looking to the past and the traditions of the past, and get them to mesh with somebody who's looking pretty much towards the future and looking for a new way to do things? When in the bottom line is everybody's right and everybody's wrong. So how do you get that to mesh? I think that's the big question when you're dealing with that, those themes. I don't know. Let's get into it a little bit. Sherry and I would tell you don't necessarily agree on some of the ways we would go about it, but I don't know. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about looking at things through that lens of a legacy and traditions, like what are the non-negotiables when it comes to legacy and traditions?
Well, again, in the fire service, there are some non-negotiables. We like our traditions. Our traditions, for instance, this is a big one. Many of us like a traditional fire helmet style. Now, that would be the old-fashioned helmet that you would see back from the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. And where some of the newer folks are looking for, well, you know, what's the newest and greatest thing? What fits best with the type of air pack we're wearing now? What works best with everything else going on with communications and things like that, where those of us in the older style would be like, yeah, can't we just make the fire helmets that we have that look traditional? Can't we just make them work with what we're doing now? And that's just one example. Many other examples go back to fire apparatus and different types of uniforms and the gear that we wear. But most importantly, our traditions go back to our culture and firehouse life and the kind of firehouse family values that we have that those of us from an older generation in the fire service really value, and trying to bring them forward into a newer generation. So that becomes probably the biggest issue is bringing our old traditions, moving them forward while meshing them with newer traditions and newer generations and how they think. And that's the most important key, is everybody thinks differently. And I don't think this is anything new. I really don't. I think that if there was somebody doing a Talents on Tap show in 40 years ago, they would be doing it on radio, not on the internet. And they would be talking about how the newest generation of the 60s is driving the generation of the 40s and 50s crazy. So I don't think it's anything new. And I think that's one thing we agree on, is although it's generational, it's not a new generational thing. It's just the old school versus the new school. And that's always going to happen.
Yeah. And I think that could be a whole other podcast to talk about generational differences and how people think. And I'm just, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, well, with a helmet or equipment, I mean, don't you really need to be more future focused because you want the safest gear? You want the most, I guess, just safest. That's all I can think of in the fire service, especially. But I would also think, like, if you are not in the fire service and you're listening to this, maybe it's the technology. Maybe it is the latest, greatest things. Like, there are some things that you just, you have to move past tradition and into what's the best tool, equipment, whatever it looks like to do the job efficiently and safely.
And I agree, but you have to remember those traditions, if you will, or those, I don't want to say core values, but those cultures. And I think to make things mesh, no matter what the organization is, you have to look at both sides of an issue, so to speak, and see if you can't come to some common ground where you're moving forward into the future, no matter what the situation is, but you're not forgetting the past and how you got to where you are. And you're holding the past with a little bit of reverence in saying, like, well, yes, we have in the fire service, we have much safer gear now, but that safer gear evolved from years past with trying different things and people coming up with new ideas.
The disruptors.
The change makers. Right. The change makers.
The strategic thinkers had to think of new things.
but not throwing out the older ways in terms of, you know, bringing them forward, but in a traditional way, you know.
So, like, maybe the helmet looks traditional, but yet has all the safety features.
Which it does, but it was a battle.
Right.
It was a pure, huge fire service battle to not abandon those traditional helmets, but to make them, and that's a perfect example of what we're talking about, is meshing the past with the future, is take the past, find out what in the past in your organization was working, and change it so that it still works in the future, but you don't forget the past. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think too that, so those that have that high context, that sometimes you have to be open to listening. And really, it comes down to that. It comes down to listening. Listening to each other, listening to what the new, fresh ideas are, and having that conversation and being open-minded enough that, hey, maybe somebody does have a better way to do this. Maybe somebody does have a better idea. Maybe there are things that need to change because somebody has a new perspective on. And maybe there's not, but it comes from being open to just listening to the ideas, having a strategic thinking session with the context, the futuristic, the strategic mindset, and coming together, brainstorming and figuring out, like, nope, these are non-negotiables. These are values that aren't going to change. And yet, yeah, you know, that's a really great idea. Let's move forward on that. And being, everybody needs to be open-minded.
They do. And what it comes down to is communication. That open-mindedness should lead to good communication. And it amazes me in all lines of work how you can really move forward into the future with just good open lines of communication and holding in reverence someone who has an older way of doing things and listening and understanding his or her way of that, and then saying, okay, how can we mesh that into what we want to do moving forward to be futuristic, to use some strategic thinking and disrupt things a little bit, but hold those traditions of the past with a little bit of reverence and see if we can't mesh those together somehow as we move forward. I think a lot of organizations would have a lot happier people if they did that. Think about your organization, where you may work or what you may do, and the conversations between more futuristic thinkers versus people that think, well, the old way still works fine, so the old way should be left alone. The old, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But even if it's not broken, it probably could be better. And that's where you have to have open lines of communication and speak to each other very, really well.
And I know when we were talking about this earlier, you had also mentioned that one thing you feel would help with keeping certain legacies alive is explaining to the next generation why.
Right. The importance
right.
of those. again, I can only speak to, well, let's go with the military. I talk enough about the fire service, but I also have a long history with the military, with the Air Force specifically. And they talk about their traditions and their core values and things like that and why they want to hang on to them and their uniform traditions, for instance, and why it's important that the rank structure remain the same and that the rank insignias be visible on the uniform and everyone wear the uniform in the same way. What we're trying to create there is really good teamwork, where an esprit de corps is what the military describes it as, where everybody is not necessarily thinking the same, but they're being reverent to the organization as a whole and saying, okay, I think different. I want to bring some new ideas, but I'm going to do it in the same fashion that everything else is done in the military. I'm going to do it by wearing a proper uniform. I'm going to be doing it by holding the superiors to the amount of respect that their rank deserves. And we're going to move forward, but we're going to be doing it in a respectful manner, not forgetting our past, not forgetting our traditions. And I think that's the greatest thing about the military, is that no matter who you are, no matter what walk of life you've come from, and no matter what your career field within the military is, there are certain core values that don't change, but yet they move forward with the highest of technology and the highest esprit de corps and great fun and great morale. And they do it while holding on to traditions. And that's just what we're talking about here, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's just what I'm thinking too, when in my days with Mary Kay and being a sales director, we even had our uniforms, and that was a prestigious thing that once you earned that level, that leadership level, you were able to wear the uniform. And it was always a beautiful suit that we were able to wear. And when you went to a conference, you knew immediately who was at that level by the suit they right. had on. And the higher up you went, the prettier the suit got. Right. But there was something to be said about that, of having that uniform suit. And I do remember hearing too, even Mary Kay Ash, she was such a brilliant woman as a leader. She did that because she also didn't want any leader to feel inferior, that she couldn't afford the same wardrobe mm-hmm. as another leader. That once you got to that leadership level, we were all equals. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love that. I always love that story, that why that tradition came mm-hmm. to be, of why the director's suit was so important to her as the founder of our company. And yeah, we could accessorize with our jewelry, show our own flavor in there of what jewelry we wore, what shoes we wore. But it was expected that you wore the company uniform mm-hmm. at that level. And it gave you that sense of pride that you belonged to that level, to that company, and you were respected when you had that uniform on.
So, and that brings to this point. So that all being said, no matter what your organization, I mean, some of you may be listening out there saying, well, we don't have a uniform.
Right.
And you don't need to have a uniform. But what you need to do is to pass on what your core values are and what Sherry says, your non-negotiables. What traditions do you hold dear to your organization that you don't want to change, but at the same time move forward, and make sure that everybody understands why you are holding dear to those traditions and core values and not changing them. I think one of the biggest problems we have with communication in today's world, no matter what your organization is, we seldom explain why we want to do something the way we do it. And we want to hold on to that tradition. I think once we do that, once we explain why we're holding on to that, I think it'll go a long way to getting newer employees, newer team members to say, okay, so we're going to move forward into a futuristic world. We're going to create new ideas. We're going to be a disruptor, but we're still going to hold on to these core values that the organization holds dear, and these traditions and the cultures that the organization holds dear. And I think if we can do that, there's really nothing we can't accomplish in any organization. So that being said, you have to ask yourself, in my organization, what are my core values? What are my traditions? What are the non-negotiables moving forward? How far will I let someone with a strategic theme, how far are we going to let them go on their own to be a disruptor? and the person with context, how much of that person are we going to allow to hold on to traditions? Because let's be honest, as time goes on, some traditions, some core values, some culture processes in your organization may not work anymore. Mm-hmm. And those are the things we have to think about. We have to look into ourselves. We have to speak with our team members. We have to have open lines of communication. And if we're going to move forward in this world, we got to have those things. And we have to be willing to have what I like to call amicable conversations, even about things that we're not going to agree on.
I totally agree. Yes. And I think that's what I love. Like, even as we're doing the high performing teams program, like, it's opening up that line of communication because it's helping everybody understand, like, oh, that's why they think that way. Right. Or that's why they believe that. Because when you start to see what people's natural themes are, their natural talents, which are how they think, feel, and behave, mm-hmm. you understand that person more, and then you're more willing to be open that they're not doing it to be spiteful or because they're a jerk or whatever it is, that they're doing it because that's just how they think. And I also want to go back to, you're talking about the non-negotiable values. And some of you may or may not believe in this or not, but I admire very much Truett Cathy, who is the founder of Chick-fil-A. There are no Chick-fil-A's open on Sundays.
No, there is not.
Not even the one in the airport. Not even the one in the airport. But that's his Christian value. And that's a non-negotiable for mm-hmm. S. Truett Cathy. He loses a lot of money because he's not open on Sundays. But that is a non-negotiable value for him. Whether or not society likes it, that's non-negotiable for him. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. It's like, what are your core values that are non-negotiables, and can you explain them
right
to your team members so they understand why they're so important and to you?
Right. And if I could give an example of that beyond Chick-fil-A, which I really love their chicken sandwiches. So if you join the military, it doesn't matter what branch, and you join the military, believe me, the military has core values and they are non-negotiable. But once you join that military, it doesn't matter whether they explain those core values to you or not. You've joined. You're there. They're going to break you down and they're going to build you up into what they want. And then they're going to make their core values your core values. The difference in today's world is if you're not joining the military, if you're joining an organization, no matter what it is, and you as the organization don't explain those core values and why they're non-negotiable and why they're important, and your new employee, your new team member doesn't agree with them because you haven't explained them to them, even if they don't agree with them after you've explained it to them, at least they understand them. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to leave. The only organization in the world that doesn't care whether you believe in their core values initially or not is the military, because you were dumb enough to sign that piece of paper and you're there.
Or smart enough.
Or smart enough, depending on your point of view. And they don't necessarily have to explain their core values to you. They do, though, eventually. But in the beginning, they just start right out with a very disciplinary and a very authoritative mode. And that's what you have to deal with. Where in any other organization in the world that you're not by law held on to remain in, if you don't like it, you can leave. And I think, and Sherry and I have talked about this exclusively, I think if people would just take the time right in the very beginning to explain their core values and why they're non-negotiable, and then move forward from that, I think you could retain a lot of great people.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, like even joining the military, or even if you went to work for Chick-fil-A, most people know Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays. So they know it's a Christian-based company because of that.
Correct.
So they're not going to join if that doesn't go with their values.
Right.
They're not going to work for Chick-fil-A. Right. Or if they don't understand what it means to be part of the military, don't join. You know, they're not going to join the military. So I think a lot of those people kind of understand up front. And that's what we need to, you know, running an organization or a business. Are you living out loud your values?
Right. So I think
does somebody know your values?
I think what Sherry's saying is lay them out there before these folks apply.
Right, right.
Let them know what your core values are, what's important, what's not going to change, what the non-negotiables are. And then why would you want people to apply for a job that, or to be a member of your organization that they're not going to, if they know they're not going to agree with them right off the get-go, then they're not even going to come to your company. That's going to save you a lot of trouble.
Right, right. So, but there are some traditions that need to be looked at and thought about, and maybe it's time to change them. And correct. There's a story, and I know I was sharing this, and I heard this from somebody else years ago, and it just always stuck with me about a young couple, newly married young couple. They're fixing their first, we'll call it Easter dinner. She's baking her ham, and she's putting the ham in the pan, and she cuts off both ends of this fresh ham. And the new husband, he's like, "Honey, why are you doing that?" And she's like, "I don't know. It's just the way my mom baked the ham. It's the way I was taught." He's like, "Well, I need to know, why are you cutting off the ends of the ham? My mom never did that." So he calls up his new mother-in-law and says, "Mother-in-law, why did you cut off the ends of the ham when you baked it?" And she says, "I don't know. It's just the way my mom cooked the ham. So that's the way I've always done it." And he wasn't going to settle for that answer. So he calls up the grandmother-in-law now. And ask Grandma, why did you cut off the ends of the ham before you baked it? And she starts to laugh and chuckle. And she says, "Oh my goodness, my dear. When we lived in our first house, our oven was so small and the pan was so small, the only way it would fit in the pan and in the oven was to cut off the ends of the ham." But these women had been doing that for generation after generation. This tradition of cutting off the ends of the ham was really for no purpose anymore. So sometimes we have to look at, like, why are we still doing things the same way? And let those people that have that futuristic mindset, the Disney World mindset, or that strategic mindset that can come up with new alternatives, listen to what they have to say, because maybe it's time to look at those traditions and think, why are we still doing it this way?
Right. I would agree. I would ask two questions. First of all, and probably most importantly, is I want to know what happened to all those ham ends, because I'm a big
the dog
ham
got
fan,
them.
And it seems to me like a lot of wasted ham over the years in that story. And secondly, as me, because I am one of those older guys now, I am that older generation in my job. And I find it hard to let go of traditions. I find it excruciatingly hard to let go of traditions that no longer work.
Well, you also have high consistency.
That's
so you
true.
Like things to stay
like
the same.
I like things to stay the same. Mm-hmm. But I also know that the world keeps turning and the world keeps moving forward. And at the end of the day, we really need, those of us that are in that position, need to take a really hard look in the mirror and say to ourselves, is it time for that tradition to be let go? And think about what might be the future of our organization if we did just let that tradition go and move forward. As hard as that may be, maybe just hold it in reverence on a plaque on a wall or pictures of how things used to be done, but know that that tradition, that part of your culture had to be let go. That's a hard thing to do, but I think we need to take a really hard look at that and wonder, should we just let that one go? I really believe that. I think in the end, we would find that on a number of occasions, that's the right thing to do.
Right. And if you think about it in life, if somebody wasn't open-minded enough to listen to a strategic thought or somebody with high futuristic, there wouldn't be electric cars. There probably wouldn't be a man on the moon. There wouldn't be somebody running a 4-second mile. Wait,
4-minute mile.
4-minute mile. That'd be really fast. It's a 4-minute mile. I knew I was going to get that one wrong. The 4-minute mile. You know, there's always a new thought that's always going to lead to advancement in our careers, in our businesses, in our organizations, in our lives, in our society. And we can't stay stuck in the past if we really want to move forward and have.
Right.
Can't think of the word I'm looking for. So
I just going to say is, you know, just hold those old traditions and core values with reverence of how well they worked in the past and be willing to move forward in the future and change things and be that disruptor that Sherry was talking about. And those of us that have high consistency and high context have to be honest with ourselves and with others and wonder what works and what doesn't work and what's the best. Because at the end of the day, the most important thing is what's best for your organization. If letting go of something to move forward is the best thing for your organization, isn't that what we should do? If holding on to something because that core value or that tradition may be important to keep the organization moving in the right direction, then maybe we should hang on to it. But at the end of the day, we really need to take a hard look at everything we do and ask ourselves, do we need to change or are we okay the way we are? Are we moving forward the way we need to be? And do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you cutting off the ends of the ham for no good reason?
Right.
Because you don't even know why. Like sometimes we don't even know why. Why are we still doing that?
That's so true. There are things that we're doing. Like, why are we doing that?
Why are we doing that?
I don't know why we're doing that. We just do it.
Yeah. So bottom line is, I think it comes back around to what we said at the beginning of the podcast. It's communication.
Exactly. That's the bottom line to any of this is open lines of communication and amicable discussions where I'm the kind of person where I can be pretty defensive. If I feel one way and I feel very strongly in that position, I can be very defensive about changing my opinion. But that's one of those things that I've always had to work on is, well, if I sit back and think about it a little bit, maybe that other person is right. Maybe I do need to change my way of thinking on that. And, you know what? That's what's always brought this country forward, like you just said, is new ideas, new ways of doing things, holding on to traditions. Sometimes if we do nothing more than talk about how great they were in the past when they worked and moving forward, mm-hmm. That's what's important.
So I would say wrapping up my takeaways from this conversation that I would love for the listeners to hopefully have heard is, one, open communication. Have a conversation, especially if you have people with the context and futuristic and strategic and consistency, like have them all in the same room, mm-hmm. with an understanding that you all look at things through that different lens.
With an open mind.
But have a conversation with an open mind and hear, why are these traditions still the traditions? And if nobody can explain why, then maybe it's time to let it go. And if they can't explain why and why it's important, then hold on to it.
Right.
But then also listen to how we can move forward in the future with new ideas and fresh ideas and be open-minded to that. So it's a great it could be a really awesome conversation. I would love to be in that room and that conversation happens. Right. So listen to that. And also, if you are the leader of an organization, whether it be, you know, a fire department, a startup company, a small business, or a Fortune 500 company, is really know what are the non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. What aren't even on the table for discussion? Like this is dear to your heart and soul, and it's not up for discussion.
Right.
Know those and display those and live those out loud so that you will attract people to your organization who also have the same values. So they're not going to try to change those values. They may change the way you do other things, but they know, like going back to Chick-fil-A, nobody's going to go into well, there probably are some people, but they're not going to win that argument that Chick-fil-A is probably not going to hire somebody that's going to say, well, I want to work on, I think we should be open on Sundays.
Right.
That's non-negotiable in their company.
And the bottom line is be open. Let your people know. Let the people that are joining your organization know what those core values are, why they're non-negotiable, and move forward from there. And then take a look every so often, take a good hard look in the mirror and ask yourself, are these really non-negotiable? Is it time to move on from these? And if you do that, your organization wins. If you're willing to change when change needs to be made, if you're willing to hold on to things when those things need to be held on to.
Yeah. So, well, with that, I think we've wrapped up our conversation here. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think we've had a really good conversation. We've ended this conversation. We still like each other, so that's a plus.
It is fun. And again, another reason why in relationships to take the strengths assessment. If you have not invested in that yet, take the Clifton Strengths Assessment. take it with your team at work, but take it also at home, because we come to this, and I hope that's what you enjoy about the Talents on Tap, is you get two different perspectives. My talents and themes are so different than Tom's. I have high futuristic and strategic. I'm that future forward thinking leader, whereas Tom likes consistency. I don't know where context is for you, but
it's not low, but it's kind of in the middle. But I like consistency. I take I have high responsibility. I have high maximizer, but I find my high maximizer is falls with, in my mind, within the consistency theme. Mm-hmm. So you're going to come out, and I think that's what makes this great, is that we now understand what our strengths are and what our talents are, and they come at each other from opposing points of view once in a while. But because we know that, we can open the lines of communication and come to a more amicable consensus of where we're going to move forward from, no matter what the conversation is about.
And really, just understanding where we're coming from.
Yeah.
It's an understanding, which I feel like if in the world we can understand where another person's coming from, that eases that angst, that eases that animosity towards them. It eases that thought that, why are they doing this to me? They're not doing it to you. That's just the way they think.
And I just want to say, point out how smart I am, because when you said that, I realized that that falls under the empathy theme. Where people are coming from, being able to place yourself in their position. I amaze myself sometimes.
Oh, all right, friends. And just one last reminder too, if you haven't yet, click the link below, get on, make sure you're on the mailing list, or send me a LinkedIn message, email me, and let me know that you want to be part of our next Navigating Your Leadership Live event. We would love to have you on and hear your point of view in the conversation. That's your chance to join us in the conversation. I don't know what time of day we'll have it, so beer may or may not be a thing, but hey.
Well, let's make it so it is. Make it later in the day.
Okay, we'll do that. All right, until then, go out and make it a wonderful day and just have great conversations this week. My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections, or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.